We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
It's the horror show with Sean and Joe. Another episode ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the horror show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the horror show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horror Show. The show dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Hello, Joe.
What's going on, man?
Nothing. I forgot we were off for a week. It didn't feel like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we were off. We had our live show.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess it's not like a total off. Boy, and that was a fun live show.
Yes.
People said it was one of our best. I tend to agree. It was so much fun. And we had a costume contest. Mill James won that with her awesome Malignant costume.
A legitimate movie prop that she did there.
She crafted and put on the back of her head. So that was sick. Loved it. So she won a t-shirt, one of the new t-shirts, and we had a couple other winners. Bryant taking second place with Chris Penn's character from Reservoir Dogs, and he had an impression which I think got the points higher for him.
Sure.
Came in hot with an impression too, so, and he looked fucking just like him. It was actually crazy.
He did.
And then we had two people tied for third. It was Sarah Nasta with, oh my God, with the Richard Dreyfuss.
Dreyfuss from Jaws.
Yo, that was so fucking good because Paul was on too. She goes, "Do you know who I am?" And we're like, "No." And then she slowly applies this red beard to her face. And you guys were like, "Holy shit, are you Richard Dreyfuss from Jaws?" That is what it was. It was fucking awesome. That was like the best. Somehow looked exactly like him. And it's all it takes, I guess, is circular glasses and a fucking stupid winter cap and a fucking beard, I guess.
Yeah, she nailed it.
And Aaron McGreal did like a crazy vampire outfit. And we should just shout everyone out that came on with the costumes. You guys were all great.
Yeah.
All of them were absolutely fucking awesome. So appreciate y'all for copping on and doing that with us. Bryant, Sarah, and Aaron, I'll be sending you some little gifts for second and third place. And Mill James will be getting that shirt when they come out. Shirt pre-orders are closed also, so thank you all to everyone that pre-ordered. It was a freaking huge order. So we'll be putting those in and getting those as soon as we can, and getting those to you hopefully before the holidays. So, and by holidays I mean Thanksgiving. So that's my goal. I'm not holding this out until Christmas. I'd rather fucking shoot myself. So yeah. And then I don't know how much extra we're going to order of those this time around, but we might have some that pop up in December. So keep your eyes peeled on that. Yeah. And then...
crazy is fucking November already.
Oh, dude, it's fucking absolutely nuts. It's like we're going to be in the second week of November already. That's crazier to me. That's nuts. And I also want to give a shout out to Thom Tum, our brother. Just going through some tough times, so appreciate that guy. So I just want to shout out to him out. And, oh, we have a schedule change that we do need to discuss real quick. So originally we had posted something on our Instagram. Reagan had posted the schedule where we were going to do Thanksgiving 3 as a live show. on the last week of November. We are actually not going to do a live show in November because, as you can imagine, it gets kind of busy around Thanksgiving time. So it just doesn't make sense right now for us to do that. So we're going to do Thanksgiving 3 as a regular episode that week. So we're not going to take any weeks off in November. Like, we're still doing it, which is just as crazy, by the way. But we just couldn't do it that weekend. And it, like, the way our schedule is set up, it wouldn't have worked, like, moving stuff around. So I think this is better. But what we're going to do is, instead of the live show, we're going to do a full bonus episode for the Patreon members in November. I don't know what movie yet, but so basically, like, a full real episode at the end of the month, which will be cool for you guys. And then in December, we're going to do our free live show, free for everybody to come on out, and we're going to do two movies. Not another teen movie, and then a second. I'll leave the second one as a surprise for December, and that's going to be December 18th. So mark your calendars, and it should be December 18th. We'll don't hold us to it, all right? We might fucking move shit around, but December 18th, and it's going to be a twofer. We're going to do one at, I think, like 3 p.m. for the European audience, and then one at our normal 9 o'clock. So that should be fucking awful. Should be absolutely fucking awful for everyone.
You gotta learn how to pace.
We are going to have to set a pace for Not Another Teen Movie, which I think will be fine. We'll just have some nog, maybe.
Talked about shitting our pants on the fucking Patreon. Why, if we just drink nog the entire time?
I don't think I've ever drank an alcoholic eggnog. I don't think I've ever done that, so.
Nah?
No, I don't think so. We could do hot toddies.
Just putting stuff in tea?
You know, it's actually not even tea in there. I learned that once. That was crazy, but it's the best.
Can't be true.
There's no tea in it.
A hot toddy?
Yeah, they use different spices. It's just water, hot water and fucking Jameson. And then like a bunch of spices. I was at a bar. They fucking handcrafted it in front of me. And I was like, oh, fuck, there's no tea. It tastes like tea, but there's no tea in it.
Yeah, because tea is fucking spices.
Correct. Listen, fucking, should we talk about what we're going to do mid-December through January? Because I feel like people are going to lose their mind.
Please, because I don't remember.
Dude, you want me to say, okay, fine. Guys,
No, I don't. But I honestly don't remember. I'm very curious where you're going with this.
I mean, it's a good thing. I think people are going to lose their mind. I'm going to say it because I think people are going to be super excited about it. Starting December 14th is where we have it penciled in right now to make it line up with the release of a new movie. We are going to do every Scream movie. Scream 1, 2, 3, 4, and then culminating on January 18th when we do Scream 5 the weekend it comes out.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, I am super pumped. I think we talked about this either on Patreon or this show, but I just watched Scream 1, and for some reason, every year, I'm surprised that it might be one of the best horror movies ever made.
Dude, okay, so I watched it in October, and I said pretty much the same thing to Tina. Like, I know that's good. I know that's great. And right. I'm like, why don't I consider this top five material? Because it is, and it every is. Time I watch it, I'm like, holy shit, this is perfect. Like, I fucking love this.
It's really is like top five all time. Like, it's fucking.
I agree. Somebody just recently asked me my top five, and I listed it. And Scream wasn't in it, and then after watching, like, it is. It is fucking top five.
It's absolutely. It's so fucking well done. It's insane. But I am excited to go down this wormhole of 2, 3, and 4. That. Because I always forget them. Like, I honestly don't have any memory of them. A little bit of two. Three.
I have a good memory of two. 3 and 4, I don't remember at all, other than 3 somehow managed to make a Creed song that was good in the soundtrack.
I think you brought that up before. So that's that. And then, the rest of November, guys, we're doing Class of Nuke. We're starting Trovember tonight, our always our favorite Trovember. So we're doing Class of Nukem High this week and Tales from the Crapper next week. And that's that. We're doing 2 weeks of Trovember, which I think is a fair thing to do.
It's totally fair. Totally fair.
And then we're going to do Turkey Shoot November 24th, which is one of my faves. Ozploitation filmed in...
I never seen it.
Oh, filmed in Australia. It is so... It's the dangerous game if you hit it on the head with a fucking mallet. and then Thanksgiving 3, a movie that both Joe and Paul messaged me and were like, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that?
Dude, we watched thing. So, I don't know if this is like a normal thing. I honestly don't know if it's like an Italian tradition or not. Like, even though Tina and I were living together, like the night before marriage, you're like not supposed to see the bride. So, even though it was my house, I had to go fucking sleep at Paul's house so she could stay there and get ready. So I stayed at Paul's, and when I got there, he made me watch the Clint Eastwood musical Paint Your Wagons. And I was like, let's watch something else. And he put on, I can't remember the first one, but it was fucking bad. It was fucking real bad. But then we put on Thanksgiving 3, and I honestly almost called off the wedding. It was so fucking terrible. It was the worst thing that's ever happened to me watching Thanksgiving 3. I had no desire to do anything after that.
Well, so that should make it for a good episode.
Sean, it's fucking miserable.
Maybe we could do that episode with Paul in person so we can just go off the rails.
I'm down with it. I don't even know if you'd agree. It was honestly that bad, and I don't know if you would agree because he was miserable too.
I mean, the fact that Paul messaged me privately and was like, why are you doing this? He was honestly
when like, we have a group chat
and he messaged me privately to be like he knew it was me and was just like, what are you doing? You idiot. Oh, fuck. Yeah. So that's our lineup for this week. So hope you guys enjoy that.
And if people hear me like sniffing, it's almost ski mask season. For the recording, I recorded in the sunroom. I did it at my parents' house and it was freezing. It's just as cold here, so I have a space heater on and it's like fucking up with my allergies right now. So, apologies.
All right, noted. Duly noted. Duly fucking noted. So, but hey, there's no more grins. We're swapping out the crickets for the sniffles. So,
yeah, well, there you go.
Everyone, fucking deal with it, people.
So someone, I think it was Mike Prez, messaged me. He's like, I honestly thought you guys were doing that because you were doing like a summer theme. He thought we were like adding it in as an effect.
Actually, I think so. I was going to do that 1 week. Like I'd set it up to do that. And I'm pretty sure I stopped because it was already in the microphone. I was like, oh, well, I was like, this bit is not funny. I mean, it is, but it's not here anymore.
First it was the birds. Which I don't even have that many trees near me. And then the fucking crickets. Now the sniffles. Sirens. I can't win.
Oh, man. Well, Speaking of not winning. We've got a
gem. Now, what's more idiotic? Continuing doing Trovember or participating in No Nut November?
Dude. No Nut November is a bigger waste of time than anything Trome has ever done. And that's a big fucking statement. You gotta be a fucking idiot. I could say a lot about fucking Trome and the shit they put out, but like fucking No Nut November, get a grip, you fucking idiot.
I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. We have a limited amount of time left on this earth. I'll be fucking damned if I'm not going to nut while I still can. And then even like I'll be dead soon. And before that, there's a good chance I won't even have a prostate soon. So like I'll never nut again. Like I'm not going to pass that up for November. Get the fuck out of here.
I think these people need some help if they're participating in No Nut November. I'm just going to be straight with you. I don't like it. I don't think it's okay, and I don't think it's cool. So that's my two fucking cents.
What about Movember?
You know, I'm not the biggest fan, but you know,
I can't grow a I can't grow facial hair.
So. Yeah, that was always my issue too. So, is there a little jealousy behind there? Yeah, a little bit. You know, I can't.
Oh, what changed for you? Because you can grow it now.
I don't know. It just grew in, but like, even still, it fucking sucks. It's not great. Like, it looks not great. It looks like a fucking. Like a fucking, I don't even know, what, like a 1930s mustache. Like when I shave the beard, it looks like a fucking, it like points down. Like it looks, I look like I'm from, like from Gone with the Wind or something.
I can't.
What's that guy's name?
One day. Clark Gable.
Clark Gable. I have a Clark Gable mustache. And it's like not great. Like who wants a mustache that's like thin and points down? Not me is the answer. Yeah, it's like it looks exactly like Clark Gable's, except I think he shaped his that way.
Fucking maniac. If you can't tell, I don't think I have a lot to say about Nukem High 2. So that's why.
So Nukem High, real quick, let's do it because I actually love doing this, and sometimes we do it and sometimes we don't. Would you recommend people watch it?
Great, great question. So. To give you a long-winded answer, I think the first Nukem High is legitimately good.
Okay.
For what it is, I don't know what he did here. Like at least the first one had a story. This didn't. Honestly, it didn't have a story. It's just chaos. And that hack Peter Jackson ripped it off. The following year when he created Dead Alive. Did you notice any similarities of that? Like the rat monkey and and like when the mom in Dead Alive turns into that giant thing for some reason.
Honestly,
it looks exactly like the things here.
It was like a little weird. I'm not even gonna front. I think there's something to what you're saying. I do.
But would I recommend it? I don't think so, dude. I don't think I would.
I would absolutely recommend this
movie. Why?
If you liked Class of Nukem High, get ready for what amounts to one of the greatest sequels ever created.
People before this episode were like, I think Joe's going to love everything that we do and Sean's just going to want to give up. Seems to not be the case. I mean, it could have just been like a 30-minute short. He did too much to have that much like excess nudity and like over the top dialogue. It honestly became exhausting after like 30 minutes. Like, all right, I fucking get it. Like, just wrap the shit up now,
dude. My favorite was they give you a flashback with a narrator, then they start the movie. But then they're like, and this is the thing, this all started 2 weeks ago, and then we get another flashback.
Another flashback, yeah. No, I mean, that guy is my biggest problem with the movie, because a lot of the dialogue is typical trauma, meaning it's like overdubbed, and it's just like big, burly, large men talking in high-pitched voices, doing like Bob Saget's routine from America's Fuck, Funniest Videos.
That was my joke. That was one of my jokes.
Nice. I mean, that's what they're doing, right? It's just guys that don't fit that voice. But this guy, why does he get so much dialogue? He's not interesting. He doesn't have a silly voice. And he just talks into a fucking recorder for way too long. And he talks the entire, he narrates everything.
Fucking, it's so weird. It's so weird. And that fucking dude that's doing his Tiny Tim fucking impression. Tiptoe through the tulips. This has two directors,
What's the Tiny? What's the Tiny Tim horror movie? Did we do that?
Fuck. What is that? We did, I think. Wait. We definitely did, right? Blood Harvest.
Blood Harvest. Did we do it?
Yeah, dude, I think we did. I mean, I've seen it, and I don't know why I would have watched it.
That's the thing. Taking the hiatus really fucked me up, because there's a lot of movies that I'm convinced that we did for the show, and we didn't, which means I had to have watched it during that hiatus because it's like recent memory. So I was like, what was I doing? Why was I doing that?
Dude,
like,
I don't see.
Why did we even stop the show if I was going to watch Tiny Tim in my free time?
I don't see it in our list of movies. That's it, psychotic. Add it to
the fucking list.
I mean, the big problem is the cult movie challenge. I think that was like a big factor in it.
I only did like five of those. Like I gave up like five weeks in both times.
I went through them all and it was exhausting. So yeah, this is directed by this guy, Eric Luziel. He does nothing else except the third one. And then Donald Jackson, who directed Hell Comes to Frogtown, as well as Return to Frogtown, which I did not know was a movie. And then looking through his movies, he appears to just love frogs, because then we get Toad Warrior in 1996 and Max Hell Frog Warrior in 2002. So kind of a weird theme.
This guy loves frogs.
It's so fucking weird to me, but God bless him. God bless him. We have Brick Bronski, who is a pro wrestler and a trauma actor. He also worked in JCVD's The Quest, Jean-Claude Van Damme's The Quest.
I saw he was in that.
But that's the most he really does with his career. And the poor dude died of COVID not a couple months ago. So RIP.
Did he?
Yeah. Super sad. 57 years old. Bummer. Brick Bronski. What a fucking name.
Great name.
Brick Great name. Bronski.
Terrible ponytail.
Did you notice they called him Richard Smith at the beginning of this movie and then changed it to Roger Smith?
Okay. Because I was going to ask you, that's so bizarre, because I was going to ask you if they were changing his name, because they most definitely called him Richard Smith in the beginning.
Yes.
Because I don't take note. I don't, like, I write down, like, three things each time we do a show, just for, like, a talking point for me, and I have Richard Smith written down within the first 5 minutes.
Yes, Richard Smith is what he goes by in this, but is only once, and then is immediately switched to Roger. Weird thing, though, if you look at Class of Nukem High 3, he is listed as Richard Smith / Roger Smith.
Well, maybe they explain it. I guess we have to do
this. / Dick Smith, of course, because, like, I mean, that, you know, that's what it was supposed to be. I feel like they fucked up going to Roger. Like, I feel like Lloyd probably saw the final cut and was like, you fucking idiots.
Dick
Smith. His name was Dick Smith. Richard Smith. Get it?
I can't believe how it was. Like, I mean, we've been doing this all along, and we interviewed Lloyd, so I can believe. So what I'm trying to say is, it's astounding how immature trauma movies can be. Like, there's a building that gets crushed at the end, and it's just called Tit. give me a fucking grown-ass man calling a building Tit.
Trauma Institute of Technology is what Tit stands for.
I know, but it's
just, oh yeah,
it's so fucking immature.
And it was also dedicated to him. It said, in memory of Lloyd Kaufman on the building. Lloyd Kaufman Memorial Auditorium. fucking incredible. So we got Brick Bronski. You got Lisa Gay in this, who's just a trauma staple. She was in a lot of the Toxie movies. She was Casey's mom from Terra Firma, but that's about all we got for this one. And, you know, some of the trauma movies we've done in the past have been super fun, where you can find a lot of background stuff on it, or like cool, like they always make like behind the scenes movies, like full documentaries.
They make like documentaries for each movie they do.
Each movie, but they did not do one for this, which I was a little bit bummed out about, but, because I wanted to know everything about this, because I guess the movie doesn't tell me enough. Before we get into it, I did want to just say one thing. This guy, this director, Eric Luziel, said he hired three porn actresses. But what was funny is all the regular actresses would be the ones that were partying all night, getting down and having crazy parties, and the porn actresses went to bed early and read books. And he thought that that was very funny because porn was just a business. Great. This is IMDb's trivia, by the way, for this movie. It's like the only piece of trivia.
thanks for clearing up.
Fucking idiot. Oh, can you believe that? So we get a recap in this movie at the beginning, which I was watching it and I was like, boy, this movie has.
I have to interrupt because this honestly is so bizarre to bring that up. And also, what that means to me is that guy just clearly asking the porn actresses to go out with him at night, and they're like, oh, we got to go back and read. And then clearly just went out and did.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And of course, like, the normal women did not want to fuck this guy. So. They were like, he was like, oh, what a fucking bizarre turn of events. I hired three so I could have two backups. And also, by the way, they were probably also partying and just told him they were.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Sorry, I fucking ruined your joke. That's super fucking funny. Yeah, for sure. It was like, you want to fucking party? Gotta get a good read in before we act in Class of Nukem High 2.
You're still talking about it to this day.
Before you constantly call my breasts fucking, what does he call them? The entire movie, they say it 8,000 times. Large melons, weighty melons, weighted melons. Well, dude, they can't stop saying it in this movie. Fuck. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I don't remember what it was.
I wrote it down somewhere. They won't stop saying it. It's in it. Oh, they melon heavy. they're like the subhumanoids. They're like to distinguish a male and a female subhumanoid. Because I guess I don't know if they actually are male or female. I don't think they are, kind of. But there's subhumanoids and then melon heavy subhumanoids. Get it? Because they have breasts, exposed breasts. So that's the thing. But then they say it constantly through the movie. Even there's one scene where like they're all evacuating and like the military's running out, and there's also a naked woman, of course. And they're like, melon heavy ladies first, or melon heavy breasts first. And she's like, oh, thank you. And they all wait to let her go through the door first. So
we took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Fucking weird ass shit. Yeah, very immature, this movie, by the way, if you couldn't tell already. But we get a recap of the first one, right? And I was like, wow, I really do like the first one. It's so insane. It's absolutely outrageous. Right. It's fucking nuts. And I mean, I do have issues with this. I mean, I was definitely joking saying this was a fucking amazing. It's not amazing. It's a fucking mess. But it was trauma enough for me to get through it and be like, I kind of like it. I don't know what to tell you.
That's fair.
But the first Nukem High, like, oh my God, they showed so many great things. And like, even the commentary was super funny because you have this narrator who's talking about the events of the first one. And he's like listing all these insane side effects from the nuclear plant. And then he's like, and the worst of them all, it caused them to dance badly. And it like cut, and I think that's something we even discussed on that episode, which was like they danced like absolute psychos. Like, it was actually alarming. And so it was like super funny to hear them say that. And they showed like the guy that grew fucking breasts and the weird fucking pregnancy, all those fucking weird ass scenes, dude. It was, that movie is just so out of control. And I think this guy, he was trying, right? He was trying to replicate that, and it's not great. It's really not great, but you know,
again, it just wasn't full length material to me.
For sure.
Wore out his welcome pretty quickly.
Well, and I mean, you know, you said there's no story. I agree. I mean, it took me literally three quarters through the movie to be like, to put together what was actually happening and why I cared about any of this happening. The rest of it, it was. It's just like all shock value, right? It's just like trauma shock value. Like, oh, this is what trauma people want to see. Including the Toxic Avengers showing up, which was...
Toxic Avengers showing up, you know, breaking the fourth wall, being meta. It's like when in this opening scene, after they finally do the flashback, we'll just get into it. They reopen the toxic waste plant, right?
Right.
But in order to do that, the stipulation was they also had to be a junior college within, like on the floor.
Yeah.
Which is funny. That's a funny idea.
Yeah.
And they had small locker spaces, which meant that they had less clothing, which is what reasoning. I love that. And then you just get like a montage of, you know, scantily clad or topless women, which I'm not going to complain about. But then it's just like that's all it is for 25 minutes.
It's actually way more excessive than trauma normally is, too. I felt like I felt like, again, like you said, like trauma nudity is to me pretty fun. Like it's funny.
It is.
You know, yeah. There's movies where you're like, I don't know how to explain this. There's movies where you watch like naked actresses and you're like, God, I hope she knew what she was getting into. Everyone in a trauma film looks like they're having the best time of their lives. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
Everyone's on board. Like, you know, everyone's cool with what they're doing. Like, you know, like, and that's always like a nice feeling when you see that. And you're like, okay, like, I don't think anyone here is doing anything that they don't want to do.
Yeah, it looks like a party. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's fucking insane.
I would love to be on set of a trauma movie.
It's really cool, in that sense, but, in this one, it just feels just like a lot more, and it just wasn't like, oh, I don't know. Like it was excessive.
You said it feels more excessive. Like I think of Terra Firma, which is one of the more like out there trauma movies. Yeah. Right. But I think it works so well because there's things that it gives you a break. Like there's things that happen that progress the story and the characters along, and then he hits you with it, and you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe what I'm watching right now. So when you first see it, you're like, this is awesome. Like, this movie's going to be off the rails. But then there's nothing to give you that break, so after a while, you're like, all right, I fucking get it. Like, do something to move this along, please.
I agree. Actually, and I don't want to interrupt us talking about this show because we keep doing that, but... you know what, an idea you had and you pitched to me, and I thought about this just because of Terra Firma. I think it's like so genius. Joe was pitching like, I don't know. I mean, we didn't decide on exact details of it,
but oh, going back,
doing like a once a month, like fucking rewind on a movie that we've already covered in our first run again, this run. And I thought it was fucking genius.
For like 2015 or 2016, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. We tried to be like scholarly back then, which...
I know.
We're fucking not. So I want to go back and watch some of those.
It was like a mix of like scholarly and also like one of the reasons like I needed to like take a break from the show was because I was doing the same material. I felt like every episode, and it was just like... this movie stinks because this guy stinks. And it's like, okay, like I get it. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm not doing that this time around. So I'd like to take a look at it. And also, as people have pointed out, our opinions seem to have changed dramatically on certain things. So my favorite was the guy that was like, hey, it was super weird when you guys were talking about how much you both would defend and love Disco. And there is literally an episode where you shit on Disco for like 15 minutes. And I was like, oh, that's fucking funny as hell. Yeah, I think that's genius. And I don't know if it would be like once a month, but like I think there's definitely room to do that somewhere in there. Or like a live show or something. I don't know. I'd like to
I would love to
go back. Yeah, same.
Because I remember being critical about Wolf Cop. I've never seen Wolf Cop before or after. And I'm like, why the fuck was I critical about Wolf Cop? Some guy's dick gets mutilated and it's about a cop that's a wolf.
I agree.
I would probably enjoy that then.
I thought about that same movie too, when, because Paul brought up for some reason Wolf Cop 2 was like, I don't know why. Like, Paul's so fucking, Paul's like, have you guys watched Wolf Cop fucking Returns or whatever? And we're like, no, what? Okay, thanks, Paul. But yeah, I was like, in that moment, I was like, man, I feel like I don't even want to re-listen to that episode. I feel like I'd get like douche chills about myself, but
I would, well, that's why I brought it up. I feel like listening to my takes from 2015, 2016 would literally like devastate me.
Would we cut in our takes?
Oh man.
I don't think I could do it, honestly. I'm too fucked up. I'll fuck me up. Like I'm too critical. I'll cry.
No, I kind of like that. You said douche shows, like it would give me goosebumps to hear my fucking shitty take. I like that idea.
I would legitimately like scream into the microphone probably, because like I would just not. I don't know if I'd be able to handle it. But maybe that's what I need to do to myself. Maybe I need to like just fucking teach myself a lesson. And play it. Because I'll end up agreeing with all the negative reviews that we've gotten. Because they probably picked like an episode like that and were like, these fucking idiots.
Yeah, no, I like the idea. We should explore that.
We'll think about that. We'll put an exploratory committee together. Workshop.
Being critical about Zombievers. Give me a fuck. What the fuck are we doing? I'd probably have so much fun now.
You're not making me want to do this anymore. I forgot about Zombievers. Fuck. God damn it. Hey, we lived, we learned, and then we got loves, all right? Then we took a hiatus that infuriated a lot of people, and then came back and got it together. I actually think we were better. No, I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. Listen, we've got a lot of trauma to cover here, including this credit. We get into the okay. So, Joe said, they built a junior college, right? And we get the most insane just montage of people fucking running. They're all running away from something. There's people with gas masks on that are like rubbing it. Dude, that scene is like a minute long of two people fucking in gas masks and like rubbing the gas mask canisters together. Like they're like Eskimo kisses. That scene lasts for 60 seconds. And that's doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And then the credits pop up and it says, it's like normal credits. And then it says Greeny the Weenie Man, created by Gary Young. And I was like, I need to know what the fuck this credit means. What is Greeny the Weenie Man? So I start looking it up. There is nothing on the internet about it. But I think I figured out who it is. I think it's the subhumanoid that talks like a British actor. Like a British thespian? Do you know who I'm talking
about? The one that was in all green?
The one that was what?
Remember somebody comes in, they're in an all green. They're dressed like Master Chief from Halo.
No, not that. No, it was like this little subhumanoid thing. Like one of the little heads that floats around. But this was the head that crank was going like, help me, Roger.
And dude, the one that they ripped off from Almer?
Yes, yes. Fucking so weird. I think that's Greeny the Weenie Man, but I can't be sure. And we get this insane montage of like the lockdown evacuation and riots and everyone's leaving the school. Fucking cars crashing, buses crashing. It's honestly crazy. The budget they had, because I know they use a lot of like...
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because he's exploding buses. I mean, what are you doing?
It's crazy. And I know that like they often in trauma like recycle their stuff. This was not recycled. This was all new explosion material.
Yeah.
Because we see the cars operating earlier in the movie. It's not the generic B-roll that they use normally. Like, this is all new. Dude, they use claymation in this. And, like, it's not far off from, like, Army of Darkness's claymation. Like,
no, it's not.
Like, it's right there. So, like, that's a bigger budget, man. Like, I don't know how they do it. And then we also see a giant kaiju fucking squirrel stepping on model buildings.
Dude, having a kaiju in this movie,
And we meet our hero Roger Smith, who is dictating. And I know Lloyd Kaufman wrote this line because it made me laugh, and obviously that would make him laugh. His goodbye bye line. His goodbye bye line. Dictating his goodbye bye line. Because he's a journalist for the college. First I thought he was like an undercover journalist, and then it turns out he's just a student journalist.
Yeah, I thought he was too. I thought he was like, because he's acting like he's a frontline army journalist.
Yes, you know, yes.
That he was deployed there, but he's just a fucking idiot that goes to the school.
Yeah, and he loses the woman he loves, Victoria. And another funny scene is like she's dying, and he's like, "Well, rest in peace, Victoria." And then her tongue is hanging out of her mouth, and he shoves it back into her mouth. And honestly, would you do that if it was the woman you loved?
Would I shove her tongue back in her mouth?
Yeah, like to save her the fucking embarrassment when the paramedics get there.
I don't.
I feel like Tina would ask.
That would cause so much complications. Like when they do their investigation, why are your fingerprints all over her fucking tongue?
Your fucking.
Why was her tongue lodged down her throat?
She was alive until you put that bacteria in her.
Yeah, mouth. Yeah, she suffocated because you.
Oh, it's so sad. She would have survived if all that bacteria somehow didn't show up in her mouth. Oh my god. Well, Roger Smith, or Richard Smith, however you want to call him, talks for so long while all this absolute chaos is happening around him. And then he says, and you think this is just going to like be the way the movie pops off, which would have been very trauma-esque, and I was fine with it. But then he's like, "Oh, just to think a few weeks ago, everything on campus was perfectly normal." And you're like, dude, we're going back again? Like, what the fuck? We're going to go back and come back to this scene again? Like, come on, man. And it's just nonstop. This movie is nonstop bits, right? It's just bit after right. bit after punchline after dad joke. It's meta joke. And it's just like all over the place. Like the cafeteria, like it's like the typical trauma cafeteria where there's like rats in the food and stuff. And but like he's narrating it now, Roger. And he's like, "The cafeteria only serves plastic novelty toys. That's kind of weird." You know, all right, we fucking get it. Like,
and that's why I think the first one works so well is because I hesitate to word it like this, but like it is a commentary, like it's like a social commentary. Like Louis somehow pulled it off as like represents the New York of the time, but it's, you know, over exaggerated tenfold. And I think that's why the first one is pulled off so well. But this one, going into the 90s, like the 80s punk boom and the 80s New York was no longer, and it doesn't work as well.
Yeah, I think that's really the key here, because I think this is the start of trauma moving towards the weird late trauma stuff. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't, you know, like the later 90s trauma stuff is like just like nonsense. I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't love it. Like, it's kind of fucking annoying, to be perfectly honest with you. And I feel like this is the start of that, right? Like, I feel like this is setting that stage for those later trauma movies that.
All right, let's, Sergeant Kabuki Man was 1990. So that was good. We like that, right? Yeah. Then 91 has this. They call me Macho Woman in Vegas and Vegas in Space. What a fucking name. we have Body Parts in 92. The only Troma release in 92. The Troma System in 93. We have Nukem High 3 in 94. We have Frostbiter, Wrath of the Wendigo. I need to see that.
Yeah, that's... In 95. What are we doing?
But then he comes with Romeo and Juliet in 96.
I haven't seen that.
And then, you're right, nothing good until Terra Firma in 99.
Which even that is, like, definitely off the normal Troma. Like, the early Troma stuff is very much like real movies. Like, they're not as, like, tongue-in-cheek, like... I don't know how to explain it. Like, I guess it's the meta thing.
Yeah, Toxic Avenger is a pretty good one to point to. It's like, he's legitimately making a monster movie.
Yeah.
But also, like, talking about, you know, somehow bringing in the fear of the nuclear war between, like the Cold War, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Somehow pulling that together.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go back and listen to our interview with Lloyd. He says that every movie he's ever made, he's legitimately upset. That he's been involved with, he's legitimately upset that it's not a huge hit. There's no way he could watch Class of Nukem High 2 and be surprised about that.
yeah, I mean, oh, it's so funny. Like, even the fucking script is like so bizarre. I guess they're explaining this Troma Institute of Technology tit. For us, in typical Troma fashion, right? Just like showing you absurd shit and being like, this is Troma High, whatever. And they're doing that. And then we learn about this naughty gang who we've seen the entire, like, all of these scenes, we've seen them. And they look like the Cretans, right? From the old movies.
Right.
But they are not the Cretans in this movie. No. They are the Squirrels. A new gang in the Tromaverse. Boy, I hated that name.
The Squirrels. And the 80s is over, man.
They reference the Cretans at one point in, like, the end of the movie, which I thought was, like, weird. But also, this was not filmed in New York, which they usually are. This was filmed in Arizona. So I wonder... I'm just wondering if Lloyd was just like, no, you guys are not Cretans. You guys are fucking squirrels.
A turf war?
In Arizona. Yeah. But yeah, these are the squirrels of the gang here. The leader of the squirrels is Yoke, who is dressed like fucking Bastion Booger. He just wears black underwear, fucking leather straps all over him.
It runs so much.
And we learn that nothing frightens the squirrels. Nothing except young prepubescent boys on rollerblades. That is how the line is delivered in the movie. The narrator delivers that line. Weirdest thing ever. And you see prepubescent boys on rollerblades and all the squirrels are like, get out of here. Weirdest fucking thing. And they will come back at the end for no reason. So look forward to that. Yeah. Meanwhile, Richard Smith, he's got a Class of Nukem High poster in his fucking room, which... Fucking kidding me right now. And after 16 minutes, dude, we're only at 16 minutes in and so much has happened. It's like literally nonstop shit. And this is the only reason I shouldn't say the only reason. It's the main reason I want everyone to watch it, because there's so much going on that, like, we will not be able to talk about all the dumb shit that happens in the background. And honestly,
no, you can't. It would be a 4-hour episode.
And honestly, the other part of that is it is really fucking dumb. So if you don't, I'm saying to watch it for the dumb stuff. There's a good chance you'll watch it and be like, this is absolutely fucking the worst shit I've ever seen. What is Sean talking about?
It's better served for like a party setting. Like if you were having a bunch of people over and like they're walking in and out of the room getting drinks and whatnot, having that in the background, I'm sure it would be good. Like, cause you could sit down and watch it for like 5 minutes, but like, This is, what am I watching? This is absurd. But I just can't in good faith recommend, especially if you're only like a casual trauma watcher, like you've only seen a couple.
Oh, that's true. Like, that's true.
Don't sit down and fucking watch this one, man. Watch the first one. Watch another trauma movie.
Well,
party setting, go ahead.
So Roger is, as we said, he was a wrestler before he was an actor. So he's fucking huge. He's absolutely enormous.
He's jacked.
And he's clearly like thinks of himself as a hunk. He says it a couple times in the movie. So you're like, oh, this is going to be the hunk of the movie. turns out everyone fucking hates Roger. And that might be the funniest part of this movie. Everyone constantly talking about how bad he smells. Like one of the funniest fucking things, and it's always under their breath as they're walking away. It's all that dubbed audio that like Lloyd just fucking loves to add in post production because he's probably like, this isn't funny enough. Like, just put in a voice as somebody's walking away, being like, oh, that guy fucking smells. Because every scene he's in, it features a voice in the background being like, who fucking stinks? It's unbelievable.
And he's. Like you said, he's physically fit and he's not a bad looking guy, except for that stupid ponytail. Like, there's always scenes where he's helping a woman, like he saves somebody's baby, and they're immediately just like, go fuck yourself. Fuck away from
you. Go fuck yourself, you smelly piece of shit. Dude, he goes to his room to check his voicemails because he's looking for a date. And all of the voicemails are women that he's tried to go on dates with. And they're all the most insulting calls I've ever heard in my life. One woman's like, yeah, I decided I'd rather have sex with a water bug than you. But thanks for the invite. And every single one mentions that he fucking stinks. And like the scene is playing out. And all you could do is focus on these voicemail calls that are still playing in the background. And it's like, yeah, being with you made me realize I hate everything about you. And I went back with my ex and we listened to your call. And it's fucking miserable. And also you smell. It's so insane. And he's not reacting to any of them. And it's so amazing. And this guy might be the most physically fit human to ever be in a trauma movie, right? Like
yeah, yeah.
Trauma is not known for their muscular physique actors. So, like this dude is like on top for like and constantly, dude, berating him with about how he smells. And that scene you talk about where he saves a baby happens next because the squirrels steal a woman's baby and are like playing hot potato with it. And one guy's like, oh, I don't want this thing, and throws it a fucking 100 yards. And Roger runs and fucking catches it like a layout fucking NFL catch fucking mile away. And yeah, the woman comes up to him and is like, you fucking scumbag. So, fucking great. Well, he finds out about a sex experiment because he can't get laid on his own. And it costs $8 to go have sex. It's also an experiment. Which, I guess, comes into play, sort of. And this is where he meets the Victoria, the love of his life. But this time, she's alive. And Roger is blindfolded. And he's going to have sex with Victoria. Victoria opens up her robe. We, of course, see a gigantic close-up of her breasts. And then we also see a giant close-up of a mouth on her fucking stomach.
It reminded me of Veronica.
Yes, yes. Very similar.
The mouth on the nipples.
Very similar vibe.
But the difference being... Like, Lloyd was probably like, this would be so fucking funny to have a mouth here. Oh, where Glenn is on record being like, I don't know why people are laughing at this. Despite me putting a mouth on a mouth where nipples should be. Or no, their eyes. Sorry, their eyes. Dude, eyes and Veronica.
For sure Lloyd was just laughing about this. Dude, there's like a 3-minute montage in the middle of the movie of just close-ups of all of the subhumanoids' belly mouths doing things, like drinking and smoking and brushing their teeth. Like, he clearly just put it in for that fucking montage, because there's no purpose for that.
None. This is fucking idiotic.
And I'm going to be honest, like, the effects for it aren't terrible. I couldn't do that on a low budget.
They're not. They're not terrible.
Like, fuck. Like, it's not that bad. And this is, but this is also just
also like, watching her just like wiggle down so like the her belly is where his wiener is, and being like, oh, it feels like you have a mouth there.
Yeah, that it was. I'll be honest, that was repulsive. That was stomach churning. Watching her fuck him with her belly mouth. Meanwhile, the scientists are watching this, and that's when we learn that the scientists are trying to create a subhuman slave race. Now, like, to your point, what does this have to do with a woman with a stomach on her mouth? We don't really know. It's not really a matter. And then we learn that she's been the doctor. Fuck, I forget her name. It begins with an H. I forgot. I picked it up later in the movie. Damn it. I forget her name. Holt. Professor Holt was her name. Professor Holt leads us through a chamber of all of her experiments where she was trying to create the slave race of humanoids, subhumanoids, and she tried combining a lizard with a member of the Hair Club for Men, a classic 90s bit. Love it. Tried to combine a human with a fly. Okay. Then I tried to combine a sophomore student and a trained dolphin that's bulimic. Cut to a half man, half dolphin that is vomiting everywhere.
Vomiting. Insane.
Weirdest joke to ever put in a movie of all time. And I really don't understand really the purpose of any of this, but she ends up getting like a half gorilla, half human hybrid, and they can fuck humans with their clothes on or something. And this is all things that they say. I'm not fabricating this. And but those gorilla people aren't the subhumanoids. The subhumanoids are grown in bags in a lab. So I don't know. I think they just have to fuck the monkeys and then the ape people and then like shoot the baby into a bag or something. I'm struggling to figure it out. I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. But anyway, and then they bring up like the squirrels. So I was like, oh, are the squirrels subhumanoids? But then I was like, that doesn't make sense. Cause none of the squirrels have like, and every fucking squirrel has their stomach hanging out, man, woman, child. They're all fucking barely wearing clothes. So I was like, well, they're not subhumanoid. So I don't actually know what they're talking about. And this is revealed by Dean Okra, who is the one doing the Tiny Tim impression the entire movie. Just being like, fucking Paul Bearer ass voice. Fucking weird ass shit.
His assistant having long hair with a bird's nest up top is the most like stupid trauma joke.
Yes.
I can't tell if I love it or if I hate it.
And that's Professor Holt. Professor Holt's with the giant hair, which I thought was going to come into play at some point, and it doesn't. It kind of does at the end, but not really. Like, not enough to make that a thing for the entire movie. And this guy's Tiny Tim voice is so insane that it's actually hard to understand what he's saying. You know, like, it's so bizarre that I had trouble understanding what he was saying sometimes.
It's like a dog whistle.
It really was. And then we get the montage of the stomach mouth smoking and shaving. Dude, the stomach mouth that shaved and then had like the tissues. The tissues on the cuts. Fucking amazing. And yeah, the subhumanoids, they're kind of weird. They have like a little bit of super strength, kind of, but they... Professor Holt is making them to do menial tasks. That's her goal. And then it seems that Dean Okra's goal is something else.
Yes.
Don't know his goal, though, but that's okay. And then Toxie makes an appearance. And then it turns into a movie set, as you said, and it goes complete meta, where it's like, we're trying to film Nukem High 2, Toxie. What are you doing here, you stupid idiot? but Toxie is real. In this, he's not an actor, so he's like, huh?
I mean, it's not the worst bit. It is kind of funny.
It's fucking ridiculous. And then we continue with the movie. And we see subhumanoids. They're like entering society, kind of. They're entering the school system. One of them has helped lead the trauma team, basketball team, to a perfect record. But then she just starts melting on the court and a fucking face comes out of her stomach. And the best part about the bit with this, which, by the way, this is called the subhumanoid meltdown. Like, right. Subhumanoid meltdown syndrome is what they call it throughout the movie. But when it happens, Professor Holt will come out and like try to clean up the mess and be like, oh yeah. And they always blame it on doing exercise too quickly after eating. And everyone's like, oh yeah, okay. Okay. Which I fucking love it. Roger goes to the newspaper editor to try and, you know, tell him he's got a hot lead here on this story of a subhumanoid meltdown, which she shoots down, and it's very clear that she's part of the plan. You know, she's in on it. Also, I couldn't help but hear Gabagoo when that guy Roger explained that she had melted down to a glob of goo. A glob of goo. And I was just like, I was like, how do you not? It fucking sounds exactly like glob of goo. But whatever.
Wasn't in the vernacular at the time.
No, I guess not. It should be. And that's, yeah, and then she coins the phrase the subhumanoid meltdown. And he's like, and they like play music and typical trauma. Like, fucking.
Well, we didn't talk about the theme song.
Oh,
yay or nay
to the theme song. That theme song,
it's great. It's great.
Fucking,
even though it plays, you know, maybe perhaps six times too many, it's good.
Well, you know what was crazy about that theme song? It actually explains the entire movie, yeah. Which is crazy to me because you heard it before some of the events happened, and they definitely played it, but then they would play it again, and you'd be like, oh. Now they're like, they played it at the very beginning before we knew mouths were a thing. And then later you hear the line and they're like, they've got mouths in their belly button. And you're like, oh shit. Like, that's funny. Like, that's kind of fucking weird.
What theme song slaps harder? This one or a Haunted Ween?
Oh, this one for sure. So, dude, Subhumanoid Meltdown is fucking great. This is how it's done, guys. This is how it's done. So,
remember when the guy from Manos Hands of Fate just told everyone not to worry about things because Hollywood would fix it? Yeah. Brilliant.
Honestly, if you were on a movie set and people start questioning you, that's probably what I would say also.
Especially people like not involved in Hollywood.
Yeah, you'd be like, listen guys, you guys don't know shit. I'm the fucking I'm big Hollywood, don't worry. Fucking fix it in post, brother.
and then do nothing.
Yeah, that poor guy who's probably like, my fucking knees are broken. He's like, that we'll fix that in post too. We'll fix that in post too. Remember that guy got like really hurt, right? Like,
yeah, dude, like ruined his life, didn't it? He's never the same again. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's terrible. It's honestly heartbreaking for fucking it, man. Those hands and feet.
It's just like the way he walked was so fucking idiotic. It's actually crazy. So unnecessary. Oh man. Well, we go to a squirrel party. All this is supposed to be like part of a plot that just like is just like, you're right, like this could have been 30 minutes, right? Like, because now we open a plot now where it's like, oh, the professor wants to take care of the subhumanoids, even though it didn't appear that way whatsoever at the beginning of the movie. No. She's making a fucking
a fucking slave race of subhumans to do her bidding. So not like a likable character, but she's supposed to be turned into one here, where she's like, hey, you don't treat the subhumanoids bad, which is fucking weird. And then Dean Okra, who wants to abuse them and basically like gives them to the squirrels to like fuck around with. And like this, so like we see like this squirrel party where they just like make this subhumanoid eat a glass bottle. And then they're shocked when he fucking dies. They're like, what the fuck? Got glass poking out of his cheeks. Dude, the special effects in this are absolutely nuts. I really did not
think that's trauma for you, man. I have Lloyd's book and I've never read it. I just want to, because you'll say what you will about trauma, and like even this one, I don't like the movie that much. It doesn't do much for me, but to be that like indie and to have those effects and like disgusting face melting scenes, it's incredible. He's really like a genius with that stuff.
The effects in this are out of control. Also, maybe this was the movie that bankrupted them. Because that list you told me after this is not good. And like the effects in this are not, dude, it's insane how many there are. It's nonstop. It's like old school trauma in that sense, where it's just like, holy shit. Like every single character melts. At one point. So the subhumanoids, yeah, that's it. Oh, and for some reason, oh, also the Professor Holt wants to fix the meltdown syndrome.
Or something, yes.
Like to help them. I don't know. Anyway, so she's looking for like a cure for that. Meanwhile, fucking old Roger Smith finally sees the mouth in Victoria's stomach and freaks out. So she storms away. And then he immediately is like, just because Victoria had lips on her belly didn't mean I didn't love her. Best line of all time. So he goes to chase her. He sneaks into the lab. And this is when he learns all about the subhumanoids, because Victoria and Professor Holt are captured by Dean. And they are kidnapped and taken away, where they're discussing the subhumanoid thing. And Dean Okra, I guess, wants the formula to fix the meltdown because he, I don't know, wants to rule the world with the subhumanoids. And Professor Holt, this is a very weak story as I'm explaining it. So, all right, good job. And then we get the Bob Saget squirrel voice that you were talking about here, because it cuts to some like toxic waste or some, oh no, it's some melted subhumanoid in a bucket that tipped over. And a squirrel is outside. And the squirrel is narrating this scene and is doing like, no, was it Bob Saget or was it the other guy doing America's Funniest People with that voice?
But no, it is Bob Saget.
Because the jackalope is the other guy.
Well, I don't remember the jackalope.
You don't remember the jackalope?
No. Oh,
bro, what? All right, well, they both
talk about Tom.
What? No, not Tom Bergeron. Fucking America's Funniest People with Dave Coulier.
Oh wait. How many fucking Full House alumni?
They both, kind of, dude. They went up against each other. They went head to head, baby.
And listen, I could tell you because I never watched that. I was Team Alanis.
Oh my God!
I watched Dave Coulier.
Well, I mean, we were probably seven at the time. I don't think I knew. I don't think he had dated Alanis yet. But
she went down to him out of theater. I'm Team Alanis. Leave that behind.
I'm with you, but at the time I was all about that jackalope on America's Funniest People.
They did like, honestly, I probably have seen that. I gotta look it up.
They did like skits on it. They did skits. Anyway, the point is, it's this fucking absurd squirrel voice that's like, oh, this looks so yummy. And the squirrel is narrating him eating it and just like being like, nom, 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 this is so good. Ooh, I have a belly. And we cut to this squirrel like 18 times talking to himself. And like, we'll go back to the movie and then come back to the squirrel who's like,
oh, my tummy hurts. I'm growing.
And like, they literally, all they had to do was show us. Like, we would have figured it out, right? It's so unnecessary. It might be the most unnecessary. In a movie full of unnecessary things, this might be the most unnecessary.
I honestly think I agree. They might have honestly done that because America's Funniest Video was so big at the time.
Oh, fuck. You might be right. Pulling the Bob Saget fan base.
Dave, imagine sending in a video of like your loved ones getting hit in the nuts and then having to listen to that. The fucking idiot Bob Saget narrating that voice over it.
So I actually looked. Oh, what?
It's gone. I was just gonna say, like, why is he doing that? Making up his own scenario, like his own conversations over the video when all the videos have fucking audio.
Yeah, it was really fucking weird. And so I actually pulled it up because of this, because I was like, did Bob Saget do the squirrel and the jackalope? Or like, I couldn't figure it out. So Bob Saget did have like a squirrel voice for sure. But I found a clip from the first season, and I think it was the first episode, actually. Dude, they were playing like the tamest videos that were so unfunny. I can't believe it made it past season one. But I think for the time, it was probably like, I don't know. Like, I can't. Joe, the first clip I saw was a baby just spitting up. Like, it was just a baby spitting. Like,
Sean, that lasted for seasons. It was always just like kids picking their nose on camera, or like some guys mildly stumbling. Like, not even falling down, just like tripping on camera.
Dude, that's so crazy. Dude, a baby spinning up is like literally just life. That's the way life works. The baby spits up. It's the smallest amount of spit up. It doesn't even touch the guy who's holding the baby. And he's just like, oh, jeez. And then the mom's like, oh, boy. And like it cuts and the crowd's like, ah. It was the craziest shit.
No, Sean, they would have like segments where they group it all together. So there'd be like the baby bits where just them doing that. And then it'd be like the bits where people fall off bikes. But again, it's not ever in a funny manner. It's like trying to get off and like stumbling two steps or something. Ridiculous.
Oh, man. And Bob Saget doing voices over it. Oh, fuck. That's funny. Anyway, so that squirrel's eating sludge, so you can guess where that's going, because he starts walking on 2 feet and clearly growing. So that's that. Meanwhile, a subhumanoid head starts chasing Roger around with a British accent, being like, Roger, please help me, which has not happened to any of the other subhumanoid heads, but this one it does. And for some reason, they actually have like a sit down and a chat about, I don't even know. I'll be honest. I don't know. It is what it is. And Roger, the subhumanoid tells him, what is the subhumanoid? I think the subhumanoid reveals the entire plan of Dean Okra, which I thought Roger already knew, but that's okay. So, because then after that, Roger then goes to the classes and like tries to rally the troops and like get these students to storm the reactor, which they do. And they to fight back the trauma nuclear plant.
By the way, I just want to highlight one of the classes is called Uzi 101, which always gives me a chuckle.
Oh, man. We get Dean Okra is cutting off Holt's hair, Professor Holt's big BNS hair, to get information. So I was like, oh, this will be something. This will be like, there's definitely going to be some sort of weird fucking mutant under there. It's not. He doesn't even cut it. He just, nothing happens. It doesn't matter. And meanwhile, the giant squirrel has arrived as they are fighting the nuclear plant. The giant squirrel has arrived. And of course, somebody screams, look at the size of those nuts. Cut to the squirrel, who is holding two giant acorns.
Classic trauma.
Classic trauma. Also, the squirrel starts pissing somewhere and, like, just has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. It's so obscene. It's just so excessive. I fucking love it. One of the mutants gets free, though, from the cells and kills Dean Okra by ripping his fucking head off and eating it. This allows Professor Holt to escape and Roger to save his love of his life, Victoria. And then we just start seeing people's fucking faces melt. And we're back to where we started at the beginning of the movie. But we're just cutting to people melting. Oh, dude. And the most disgusting scenes I've ever seen of these two people who are fucking. And they're like, well, we're going to die anyway. They're normal people at first. And they're like, we're going to die anyway. So why don't we go out screwing? And we will cut back to them every like 2 minutes. And they start melting onto each other and like to each other. And it is honestly stomach churning to watch. It was one of the most repulsive things. Because they're fucking making out and their cheeks are like melted into one another. It's so fucking gross, dude. It's... I can't even imagine doing that with a person with all that shit on you. Like, I'd be like, you got to get the fuck out of here. Like, get the fuck away from me. Like, I can't do this. Fucking disgusting. So Roger's still narrating. He goes, well, it seemed like the end of the world, or at least the end of this movie. and also, a classic moment in this movie for me was the army's, like, shooting the squirrel. And they're like, it's a giant squirrel. And the squirrel, for some reason, flips him off. I don't know why. Like, gives him the finger. And one of the guys starts freaking out. And he starts screaming, he gave us the finger. He gave us the finger. He's a crass squirrel. Fucking imagine writing that down and being like, you're going to say this. You're gonna call this giant fucking lethal squirrel a crass squirrel.
Crass squirrel.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's a crass squirrel. So Roger gives Victoria the serum that Professor Holt had in her hair, which is the use of the hair. But by the way, the serum was a test tube. It could have been in her fucking pocket. So don't tell me the hair is necessary. And Roger gives a speech about the subhumanoids and the humans can now live in harmony and adds at the end, unfortunately, only Victoria had the antidote. So, so funniest thing. So all the subhumanoids are dead. And the squirrel, though, is still alive, which he acknowledges. Like, he's wrapping up this movie and then he's like, yeah, but the squirrel, that thing with the squirrel, it was still happening. And then it kind of ends and then kind of goes back to the squirrel. And we finally get the Lloyd show up here, where Lloyd is the voice of the helicopter pilot. The helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I fucking love his voice. It's so funny. And he's just flying a decoy acorn around the squirrel. And it's him and that guy, Michael Hertz, who, like, is it Michael Hers? Hers, I think, is his name. Michael Hers, yeah. This guy, Michael Hers, who's been his, like, partner.
Their names forever. Will pop up on every...
Yeah.
By the way, they have the greatest title screen.
Oh, for sure.
The old school New York skyline with their, like, that 80s news screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. That, like, synth song that plays on it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fucking phenomenal. And Michael Hers does one of the voices in it. And so it's him and his buddy there doing the voices of these pilots. But it's the most insane thing. He's just like, I've got the decoy. And it's just a giant acorn. And it's just flying around the squirrel. And they're trying to lure him away to East Tromaville, where both of their mothers and mother-in-laws live. Because that joke is always great. Oh. Always happy to hear that joke. That's the end of the fucking movie. they don't actually, they're like, it ends with Michael Hurst being like, did he lure him away? And then it just cuts to credits.
See, I'm not saying this for like to toot our own horns. I'm saying this to emphasize my point. The length of this episode would be perfect for that fucking film. Like, cut out 45 minutes of the bullshit that you had to sit through, I would recommend it to everybody.
Yeah.
But it just runs too long. Nothing happens. We get two flashbacks. The guy narrates all this bullshit. And then, as you just said, there's no payoff. Everybody dies. We don't even know what happens with the big squirrel.
It's actually crazy. It's actually fucking crazy. It's actually fucking crazy. Oh, I fucking love it though, man. I don't know. It's bizarre. It's fucking trauma. I don't know. I can't get enough of it. Well, we should be excited because guess what we're doing next week?
Tales from the Crapper. Listen, I've never seen it. Based off title alone, I love it.
Yeah, and the fact that Lloyd plays the Crap Keeper is the funniest shit. That's actually why I chose it. I told Joe that. And I think James Gunn is involved in this movie. 2004. James Gunn plays James Gunn, I guess. Let's hear the plot. Troma co-founder and B-movie director producer Lloyd Kaufman plays the Crap Keeper. He presents the viewers with two horror stories. Dude, like the guy like has some money, right? Imagine you're like, all right, I'll play the Crap Keeper. 2004, he was probably in his 60s. No, 50s, I guess. Fucking weirdo. He presents the viewers with two horror stories that contain gore, nudity, fat men, talking penises, lesbian scenes, vampires, UFOs.
Did you say fat men?
Fat men. Ah, dude, I'm reading this.
All those other things you list are so, like paranormal, like not day-to-day things. This is fat men.
And appearances by porn star Ron Jeremy and the band Newfound Glory.
Oh my God.
The film was purportedly shot over 3 years with six directors and close to 15 writers. What? What is happening?
Sometimes I feel like he might add those rumors in himself. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
There's no way there's six directors involved with this. Oh, after like the third one, they would just be like, you know what? We've had enough.
Dude, this is so weird. Kevin Eastman is in it, who created the Ninja Turtles comic book. George Garcia from fucking Lost is in it, playing a guy named Raccoon Head.
Wait, is that Hurley?
Yeah, or is it Jorge Garcia? I'm sorry, I'm a fucking idiot. That's Jorge, right?
I think so, but yeah. It's a guy that plays Hurley, right?
Yeah, Hurley.
900 pounds?
Yeah. Trey Parker's in it. Ted Raimi's in it. What the fuck?
I think it might be good then.
Eli Roth is in it.
You said, what year was this?
2004.
Wow.
There's somebody by the name of Count Smokula playing himself. What? This is fucking the best shit ever. Tales from the Crapper. I'm excited.
Count Smokula is a 496-year-old accordion-playing vampire.
Oh my God. I fucking love it. And of course, like a ton of porn stars. Of course. Goes without saying. So tune in next week for Tales from the Crapper. It's a solid 90-minute flick, so get ready for that.
Count Smokula is this is fucking nuts. First off, he has a tongue that might be like 15 feet long. I've never seen that. Dude.
Oh my god. Is that real?
That's disgusting.
why is this guy famous?
Oh man, that's rich. This movie's gonna rule. It's real. There's a picture of him with some lady.
Oh my god, it's like, you're right.
The length of her entire fucking torso.
What the fuck, dude? What's wrong with this guy? How a 400... Dude, why is he still around? How a 496-year-old vampire is selling NFTs? The picture of him is insane. Looking like a fucking bozo. Oh my god. I am, I'm all in on this guy, Count Smoky.
Me too.
All right. Well, it just goes to show you, like, if you just dress like an asshole long enough, like, you could gain some traction.
It's true.
Wasn't there that guy that, like, we would see at cons? Oh, yeah, he was dressed as, like, a priest. Remember that guy? He was, like, bald.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always at the Connecticut ones.
Yeah, but like we also doctor. We ended up seeing him in like Chicago and stuff. Also, do you remember that?
Yeah, he gets hired to like
just to walk around
go to the cons as a character. Yeah,
a fucking creep. Like, oh, it's all you have to do. Then you just walk around. Like this guy just walks around like a fucking priest, like a fucking creepy priest.
Yeah, he puts in contacts.
Like, look at this fuck.
He's a plague doctor, but he doesn't even wear those like big, you know, the big beaked plague doctor masks.
No, it's not the plague doctor guy. This guy's bald and dressed like a priest.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. He goes by the plague doctor.
What?
Dude, that's his, like, gimmick.
Oh, is it? Yeah. But he doesn't have the plague doctor mask. You can see his face.
No, you see his face. Trust me, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, that's fucking weird. That's fucking weird.
That's my point. He doesn't wear that mask. It's like... He's arguably like the least unique.
That's actually crazy.
But good for him. I'm not hating on him.
Like, no, I'm just saying
to pull that off without even doing the plague doctor gimmick.
Legendary. That's like what Count Smokula did. Like they were just like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna dress around. I'm gonna dress like a fucking.
You're right, dude. You're right because this guy's not a vampire. I'm looking at like 50 pictures of him. There is nothing that indicates this man is a fucking vampire.
He just plays the fucking accordion.
Dude, he wears a stupid hat, carries an accordion, and has a long tongue. There's nothing that would ever make me think this man was playing a vampire.
Oh, fuck. I'm excited. Tales from the Crapper, guys. And then Turkey Shoot, and then Thanksgiving 3. We got a great November. I'm pumped. And then a great December and January. The live show that I have picked out for January is a Chef Kiss, but I'll hold on to it. Hold on to it. For a and I think the December live show, the second showing, that movie, which I'll hold on to till December, I also think we will have a lot of people very excited to watch that. So,
okay.
Tune in. Gang, and the December one will be free for everyone, so we will. Nice. Yeah, that'll be fun to
bring special guest by Count Smoky.
Dude, I'm gonna try and book him for the show.
Please don't. Are you kidding me?
He probably charges happen. Like an astronomical fee. all right, guys, so that's it. Thank you all so much again for the pre-orders. Thanks to all of our Patreon supporters. If you want to donate, patreon.com/IHateHorror. Like, really appreciate all of you for your donations. It's just so... It means a lot to us. Merch should be shipping in the next few weeks, so look out for that. And then probably December, we'll open back up with a really small amount of orders for that. And then start working on our next merch drop, which we'll do something fun and unique for that, as we try to always do. What else do we promote? Oh, Instagram.com/IHateHorror, IHateHorror.com, and Facebook.com/IHateHorror. And Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram, Boognish1985.
Perfect. All right, guys. Thank you all so much. Thanks to Joe for doing the show for me. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios. Fucking zombie getting sliced and diced. The monster.